You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
We were just sitting back, I don't know, kind of enjoying the music as it played away, just having a restful moment. Dr. Hartley Milchen is here, our resident podiatrist. Very nice to see you again, Hartley.
Always a pleasure.
We're talking today about the big C's, corns and calluses, I guess, eh? Which one do you want to deal with first?
Either one.
Well, you pick. You're the doctor.
Well,
you pick.
The easy way to differentiate between the two is corns are usually found on top or between the toes,
right,
and calluses are usually found on the bottom of the foot.
Right.
And they're
or the heel. Is that a callus if you have it on the heel?
Well, yeah, that could be a callus as well. And basically what a callus is, it develops from some sort of friction. It doesn't just grow on its own. So, for example, the women who wear those very tight, narrow, high heels, and they wear it on a daily basis.
The ones you love.
The ones I love. The small toe, which doesn't have a lot of padding, a lot of fat, gets very irritated by the shoe.
Yeah.
And what happens is it forms dead layers of skin. That's considered a corn.
Right.
Now, the longer that corn is there, what happens is the corn builds up, of course, to sort of protect the bone, so it forms a little pillow.
The body is trying to protect itself against
against
this odd fashion sense.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, if left long enough, the bone underneath or the knuckle underneath that corn can start to enlarge. So even though you can reduce the corn and make it feel better, it'll come back very quickly because the bone is enlarged. So it's hitting the shoe and it's going to come back. And the same thing can happen in between the toes. If two knuckles between the toes are kissing or rubbing because the toes, of course,
are
way
scrunched.
Too cramped.
Yeah,
they're scrunched into those shoes. Then you can develop a hard corn in between there as well. Whereas a callus on the bottom of the feet, that's more caused by friction from the shoes, or one of the bones may be lower and it's taking a little bit more pressure than it should. So it hits the ground first and it'll build up again dead layers of skin to try and protect the bone. Now, the simplest and easiest ways to eliminate corns or maintain them, one of the easiest ways is using a pumice stone. Now, a pumice stone is a very porous stone. Quite often it's either man-made or it's made from lava rock.
Yeah.
But most people don't know how to use a pumice stone properly. And the way I suggest is soak your feet in some warm water, drop a couple of drops of dishwashing liquid in the water, and also drop the pumice stone in at the same time.
Right.
Wait about 10 minutes till everything softens up and gently take the pumice stone and rub all the corns and calluses off. That'll give you a number of weeks of relief because those dead layers of skin are gone. One of the other ways...
For how long then? You say months?
It could be weeks. It could be months.
It depends on how often you wear your shoes. Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to wear the tight shoes, you're going to get your corns back that much faster.
Right.
Some people go to chiropodists or podiatrists and have the corns pared down.
How do they do that?
Usually with a scalpel blade.
Oh.
Well, it sounds worse than it is, but believe it or not, some people do it at home, what we call bathroom surgery. They'll take a razor blade and cut these things off.
My father used to do that. I have this vivid memory of him doing this in the bathroom.
It's surprising.
And he didn't cut anything off.
Surprising these people still remain with 10 toes.
Yeah.
That scares me.
Don't do that yourself. That's crazy.
No, don't do it yourself. But when you're trained to be able to do it, you can do it. Sometimes we'll put a bit of padding on to reduce the friction. What we don't recommend is putting those pads on that are medicated to try and eliminate the corns, because the medication is an acid and it's very indiscriminate. So not only will it burn the dead layers of skin off on the corner of the callus, it will also burn the surrounding tissue.
Uh-huh.
And people who have impaired circulation or diabetes have to be very, very careful, because if they get a severe enough burn, of course they can get an infection, and that leads to further problems.
The one place you do not, well, many places you don't ever want an infection, but getting an infection in the foot area could be particularly serious, could it not?
It's not fun, because the blood going to the feet, it's the furthest from the heart.
Yeah.
So the blood circulation, even at the best of times, isn't as wonderful as it would be in the hands, for example. And plus, the feet are, they're enclosed in dirty environments, socks, shoes, sweat, public showers, etc. You don't want a foot infection. They're not fun. Now, in the worst case scenario with the coronary callus, let's say a bone is enlarged or out of place, and it's really what's causing the corner callus, there are surgical procedures that are quite simply done in the office that smooth out the underlying enlargement of the bone. Usually no stitches are required, and we don't drive pins through the toes. And it's a very quick recovery, and the corn falls off, and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
But of course, if you still wear the tiny little toed high heel shoes, it's going to come back, isn't it? I mean, eventually, is it not going to come back?
It can, but usually when I do that particular surgery, let's say I'm doing a surgery on the bone on the small toe, rather than just smooth it out evenly, I'll make a little concave cut out in the bone, so that even if some irritation occurs, there's still room for it to fill in and the corn won't develop.
What about men wearing cowboy boots? Years ago, I wore cowboy boots all the time when I chased bad guys down the street. I thought it was a form of intimidation. And my feet would hurt, especially if I was chasing some guy in cowboy boots. My feet would hurt. I don't recall that I ever had a corn, but I'm just thinking, could you not get the same kind of corn and callus situation if you wore cowboy boots all your life?
Well, first you have to tell me the truth. Were you chasing guys or were you chasing girls?
No, I was chasing the guys in the cowboy. No.
Okay.
I was full gallop in some cases, down mountain roads in cowboy boots. It was painful.
The people who wear cowboy boots, it's pretty standard. They tell me they are the most comfortable. Personally, I can't wear cowboy
they're not comfortable.
Because,
who are they kidding?
Well, they say they're comfortable. Well, it's even
if your cowboy boot comes to a point, how could it possibly be comfortable?
Well, it's the same reason that women who wear those very, very high heels, and they say, oh my God, these are so comfortable, I can wear them all day. Well, they're lying. They're rationalizing it.
Is it a good idea if you have corns and calluses, or you just have plain, ordinary, everyday sore feet from something that you've done? Our grandmothers used to tell us, "Well, just go soak your feet. Maybe put a little Epsom salts in the bucket or whatever you're using." Is that still a good idea?
Well, I personally don't love the Epsom salts idea, and that's old school. And the reason I don't like it is because it kind of dries out the skin. I prefer that people soak their feet in is warm water and plain old white vinegar. And
there's white vinegar?
Yeah, it's about four parts water to one part white vinegar. There's no huge science to it.
Yeah.
But vinegar prevents infection. It's not going to dry out your feet. It cleanses your feet real well. It's antibacterial. It's great for antifungal. If people have those fungus nails, a lot of people suggest that they soak their feet in warm water and white vinegar once a month.
Oh, really?
So it has wonderful properties, and it will clean your windows, streak-free.
And it's great on wood floors. Absolutely. A little bit of vinegar.
Yeah, as long as,
out,
yeah, as long as you don't soak your feet in the no, beginner and put it on
water.
Your salad,
no,
you're okay.
No, what about salt? What about you soaking your feet in salt? Is salt your friend, too?
Salt is my friend when it's in the ocean.
Okay. All right.
It
good
does
place
wonders.
For it, right?
And also, walking, if you have those calluses on the bottom of your feet and you walk in the sand, sand is abrasive, and it'll get rid of those calluses, so it's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it feels good, and it
feels
it,
great.
It feels good, but it also is good then, right?
It is good.
Okay, walking in the sand on the beach. Sounds
and the
great.
Salt water is great, too. It's a great healer.
Yeah, I know from my sailing days, sailing in the ocean, if you get scrapes and nicks all over you as you do sailing, exposure to the salt water helps it heal faster.
Would that be in Lake Ontario?
No, salt water. Good grief. You're doubting my word today, Artie. Here's Thomas calling from Toronto with a question about calluses. Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a predicament here. You see, I'm a corrections officer in a local Toronto prison.
Yeah.
And I wear these police boots.
Yeah.
And I wear them 12 hours a day, and I walk on hard concrete for that many hours a day.
Right.
And my big right toe on the outside always forms these tremendous calluses.
Yeah.
I try to switch different pairs of boots, but it keeps on happening. I don't know what the hell I do about it.
Huh. What about that?
That's very common because the end bone of the big toe is triangular shaped. So the base is a little bit further back, and the apex is sort of where the nail is. And it's very, very common for both men and women to form a callus where that base of the triangle is. My best suggestion is try the pumice stone regime first. See if you can reduce it, make it feel better. Because it really doesn't matter what shoes you wear. If it's rubbing on that area, which is quite prominent, you will develop a callus there. Once in a while, I do a procedure on those bones where I'll smooth out that part of the triangle, and that callus just falls off.
Is it exacerbated? Are these boots really heavy, Thomas?
Well, they're a regular police boot.
So they have a steel toe in them?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They're so heavy.
I used to wear steel-toed boots as well, and they're very, very heavy.
They're very, very heavy. They're very problematic.
Is there any way I can prevent this, Doc?
excuse me.
Maybe the surgical procedure? Is that what you're thinking?
There's some padding,
yeah.
Or use the pumice stone once a month. See a chiropodist, their podiatrist, have it scraped down. Worst case scenario is have the minor procedure to reduce that part of the triangular base of the bone.
And that's fairly minor?
It's so non-debilitating.
Okay, all right. Thanks very much for that, Thomas. Good luck in walking down those long hallways. Yeah, those steel-toed boots, they certainly keep people from stomping on your toes, but man, oh man, they're hard to wear. Just a little tidbit of information probably people don't need to know.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
Our podiatrist, Dr. Hartley Milchen, is here answering your questions about your feet. Let's hear from Mary calling from Pickering. Mary, do you have a question for Dr. Milchen?
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Morning. Afternoon.
I have a 2.5-year-old granddaughter, and ever since she started walking, she's been walking on her toes only. She can run on her toes, and she walks on her toes. I don't know, and her big toe is starting to get out of shape a little bit.
Ever heard of anything like that, Dr. Milchen?
That's pretty common. And we actually,
oh, is it? Oh.
We actually see adults who are toe walkers, and it usually results from Achilles being too tight. Achilles are three muscles that start behind the knee. Mm-hmm. The lower one third of the leg, they form the longest, strongest tendon in the body, and they attach to the back of the heel. What I would do with an infant at 2.5 years old is sort of, I guess, develop a game where you take their feet and push them back as far as they can and hold them for about 5 minutes and do that a couple times a day. And
how do you mean now? When the child is sitting, or how do you?
When they're lying.
And I see.
Knees are straight. Just push the feet back towards the nose, and that stretches.
So you're
out
pushing
the
toes. That's to stretch the Achilles. So you're pushing on the toes more so than the heel when you're pushing back.
Well, you want to push the whole foot back as far as you can towards the knee or towards the face, etc., and hold it for about 5 minutes and see if that makes any difference. It should.
Yeah. Can you try that, Mary?
I'm going to try.
All right.
Just to see this 2.5-year-old running on her toes.
Yeah, well,
it's scary.
Yeah, well, and if that doesn't work, then I think you're going to have to seek some professional help, right?
Yeah,
doctor?
Infants go through a lot of various changes in the lower legs and the feet, so you don't really panic about it because there are very simple ways to adjust any of the problems that do arise.
But if you did this little exercise, this little game you're playing with a 2.5-year-old. How long would you have to do it before you might reasonably, on average, expect any changes?
Well, with kids, they're so darn flexible that it could be a matter of just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
In adults, when we see it, we put them in a leg brace that they wear at night, so it stretches out their foot 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they start seeing results within the first few weeks, first few months, because we're less resilient than younger people.
Mary, thanks very much for the question. Good luck with that game. Here's Barbara calling from Etobicoke. Barbara, you got to turn the radio down. Barbara. Okay. Barbara, turn the radio down, please.
Hi there. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I wanted to know from Dr. Milchen information about, it's to do with bunions. Mm-hmm. I don't personally have them. My husband has a problem with them. He's Scottish background. Apparently, they are known for foot problems.
Are they? Are the Scots known for bunions?
I haven't seen that, but I believe you, Barb.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Barb.
Okay. The question I have, though, is I've seen in many different health food magazines these podiatrists or naturopaths, podiatrists who profess to be able to remove bunions without any invasive surgery. Is this possible? I found it hard to believe.
Well, you've come to the right guy. Dr. Milchen has talked about exactly that procedure. He performs it. He can talk about it. Yeah, go ahead, doctor.
Well, there has to be some invasive aspect to the surgery because what a bunion is a bone deformation. The bones are out of alignment. So there's really two ways to do a bunion. One is the traditional hospital way, and the other way is the minimally invasive way.
Barbara, if you don't turn that radio down, you're really confusing us terribly back at this end. Barbara?
Yes.
You got to turn the radio down whole time you're on the air, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, doctor.
So there are two ways to do it. One is the hospital way with the general anesthesia, the stitches, the screws, the casts, the crutches.
Well, you sure know how to sell a procedure.
Being off your feet for 8 weeks. Or there's the minimally invasive way where there's very, very tiny incisions, about an eighth inch, local freezing, no general anesthesia, no stitches. People are back to work. We do it on a Friday. They're back to work on a Monday. The pain, the healing is much faster. So that's really the minimally invasive, not non-invasive. I don't believe there is a non-invasive way of dealing with a bunion.
But you can. But after that procedure, and this is what stuck in my mind, you described it earlier, after that procedure, you can walk out of your office on crutches. Or you, maybe just walk out?
No, you walk out on your own two feet.
Oh, you do walk out on your own two feet?
We don't use crutches.
Oh, all right, okay. Oh, that's the other place. I'm sorry. That's the hospital, right?
Right.
The hospital. But not every podiatrist would necessarily be able to do that?
There's only about six of us in the entire country, and they're all concentrated here in Toronto.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. There should be more then, one would assume.
Well, there should be.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who don't see outside the box. But if you look at the medical literature, a lot of procedures are being done minimally invasive. Uh-huh. And there's a reason for it. Like, for example, taking the gallbladder out of a belly button. Because the less you open things or dissect things, the faster the healing, the less pain, the less risk, etc.
Well, that also applies to things such as knee operations.
Right. My wife just had her knee done on Friday using a scope.
Mine too, about a year ago.
So there was only one or two stitches and that was it. Yeah. And she's been walking and she hasn't used the cane or crutches. So there's a big difference with minimal incision surgery.
But Barbara,
minimally invasive.
Yeah, Barbara, you use the word naturopathic. This has nothing to do with naturopathy. This is podiatry.
This is podiatry. It's minimally invasive. It's not non-invasive means that you're not going through the skin.
Yeah.
Minimally invasive is you're going through the skin in a very, very small aspect rather than opening it up and having these like 20 stitch railway tracks on your body.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Barbara. Thanks for the question. Here's Myra in Mississauga. Myra, what's your question?
I have a question for the doctor. I have a condition, and I can't remember what it's called, but it has to do with the nerves to my toes. And it started off with my little toe, and then it kept spreading over, and now it's getting further along. And I also have a large bunion on that foot, which the podiatrist told me had nothing to do with the pain that I have from this nerve condition. And it is spreading. I have orthotics, but it can get extremely painful at times. And I'm wondering if there was anything other than orthotics that can be done about it.
Has the word neuroma been mentioned to you?
No, I don't think that's it. It's sort of like spiders going off to the from below the or back of the ball of the foot and then spreading off to the toes.
So there may be a pinched nerve in your ankle area?
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay.
So how do I find out about this?
There's a very easy test. You know the reflex hammers that doctors use on your knees?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a podiatrist can sort of knock on the area of your inner ankle, and if you have a positive response and you're feeling something, whether it be pins and needles, burning, numbness, etc., on the bottom of your toes,
which is what I have. It's numbness and tingling.
Okay, so then you have a positive sign, and some of the ways of eliminating that problem, number one is orthotics because you're compressing the area. Number two is laser ultrasound treatments. The final outcome, the worst case scenario, is a small surgery where the nerve is decompressed in the area where it's sort of moved away where it's pinched, and that can be helpful as well. And also, a lot of people take the B-complex vitamins because they're wonderful.
I take those.
Yeah, they're wonderful for rejuvenating nerve problems.
All right. Thank you very much, Myra, for that question. Here's Colleen. And where are you calling from? Elmira, Colleen?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I just have a comment. I don't have a question about the man with the calluses on the side of his toes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to have that when I worked many years in a factory for 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Toe shoes. And I used to get them. Well, I used to soak them and use a pumice stone.
Yeah.
And then to protect them, like the next day I'd have to go to work, of course. And I used to use just plain, ordinary moleskin.
Moleskin, yeah.
And I used to just put a square of that over that part, the toe that calloused, and I never had a problem.
It worked well, didn't it?
Moleskine is a great product. If people don't know what Moleskine is, it's this pink material, it's adhesive, and it sort of feels like a very light felt. But nowadays, there are other materials like gels and foams that work equally as well.
All right. Thanks, Colleen, for that story.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.
We're back with Dr. Hartley Milchen. But terminology, can we talk a bit about terminology? It came up a little earlier. We were using chiropodist and podiatrist in the same breath, but they're not really the same. The reason I'm bringing this up is we had a note from the president of the Ontario Society of Chiropodists saying, she didn't feel that we were talking accurately about the differences between a podiatrist and a chiropodist. So can you give it another try?
Sure. As you know, I allowed both yourself and Mary to read the factual information. This is undisputable factual information between the differences both in education and scope of practice.
Right.
Really, they're not quite the same. Now, there is a place for both podiatrists and chiropodists in foot care in Ontario. So if you have a problem with your feet, both can look after your foot condition, and I recommend them both. Podiatrists can do more in their scope of practice if needed. But there is a place for both podiatrists and chiropodists for foot care in Ontario. And hopefully, what we're trying to do as podiatrists working with our college and the government is to upgrade education, skill, experience for existing chiropodists so that everybody can be a podiatrist and can practice with a complete full scope of practice.
And if they were, and if they had that additional training, which is, I've read your notes, you're a lot more extensive than being a chiropodist. Nothing wrong with that. Some training takes more time. Some training takes less time. Right.
Right. But in order to do certain things, people require more training, and that's okay. And we're willing to help in that process. We just want one scope, one practice, one name. Mm-hmm. We need the chiropodists to all get on board, propose it to the government, and move forward.
So that there would be only podiatrists?
Podiatrists.
Yeah, okay.
Because really,
right.
In Ontario, it's one of the very few places in the world that chiropody is still used.
In fact, that's what the college is called, chiropody, not podiatry, right?
Exactly.
Okay, all right. But essentially, for mere mortals now, Let me get down to the basics here. A podiatrist can communicate a diagnosis, essentially.
Yes, we can communicate a diagnosis.
And a chiropodist does not do that.
They cannot.
Okay. A chiropodist does not perform surgery on the bones of the foot as you do.
That is correct. That's it.
So those would be basic differences.
Those are not analogies.
Yeah.
Those are facts.
Okay. All
they,
right.
Also, because of the what we call the HPRAC, which governs X-rays, only podiatrists can take X-rays. Chiropodists cannot. But we want to change all that. Believe me.
Well, that's in the middle of some serious consideration right now, the way I read it. Yeah.
It's in serious consideration. In fact, as we speak, I'm looking for a chiropodist to help me in my office.
Yeah.
I have friends who are chiropodists.
Some of your best friends are chiropodists.
Yeah, exactly. You've heard that saying. But hopefully one day the general public won't have this confusion that exists today.
All right, okay. But would a chiropodist refer a patient to a podiatrist?
I believe it or not, I do get some referrals because I'm very rich in technology.
Well, that's what I mean.
But I also refer to chiropodists as well.
Okay. All right. All right.
So I really have no problem with chiropodists. They have a place in foot care in Ontario.
Okay. All right. I think we've settled the fact-based issues here. Here's Dorothy calling from Cambridge about a hammer toe. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
I was wondering what you can do for hammer toes.
Okay.
I can do easy things for hammer toes. A lot... As long as
describe for the rest of us what hammer toes are again.
Hammer
remind
toe
us.
Is a cocked up toe, so it's higher than the rest, and quite often it'll rub against the shoe and provide a painful corn, which can become quite painful, and it can also become very arthritic.
Can any toe be a hammer toe?
Any toe can be
All
a
right.
hammer toe,
okay.
But most notably, you'll see it on the toe next to the big toe.
All right.
Because a lot of people have bunions and the big toe will push the second one up.
Okay, so then what can you do?
If it's purely a hammer toe, not being influenced by a bunion, what I do is I put a little bit of freezing into the toe. I make a very, very tiny incision on top of the toe. I make a cut in the toe. I never use stitches. I put a wrapping on for about a week. There's virtually no pain with it. People can continue walking and resume their normal work activities.
Just as simple as that.
Honestly, it takes under 2 minutes to do.
So you don't have to put up with all the inconvenience and pain of having the hammer toe, right? Obviously.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. Here's Mary in Burlington. Mary, go ahead, please.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Mary from Burlington.
Yes, I know.
I'm calling about leg pains.
Yeah.
Especially in my calves. And they kind of come and go. I have it for maybe a month and then for half a year, nothing. And for some reason, it just comes back again.
Is it cramping?
Well, it's kind of pain all over, especially in my calves.
Let me ask you a question. Do you take anything for high cholesterol, any medication, Crestor, Lipitor?
Yes, I am taking cholesterol medication.
Okay, what you should do is, and it works quite well, is go to the health food store and buy something called Coenzyme Q.
Coenzyme Q.
Letter yes. Q, is that what you're saying?
Letter
yeah.
Q. It's very common. Most health food stores, even some of the drugstore chains carry it. If you start taking it, for most people, it reduces that pain you have in your calves.
All right. Okay. Thanks thanks very much for that question, Mary. And that's a standard, as we have heard from our medical doctor, that's a pretty standard side effect of taking
it is a
statins,
side effect,
those kinds of things.
But
right?
I don't know how many people are aware that Coenzyme Q actually does help relieve some of the symptoms.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear from Marisa. Calling from Toronto. Marisa, I'm close to running out of time, so please be as fast as you can.
Yes, I will. Thank you. I have a problem with my metatarsal bone, which is inflamed, and my family doctor only suggested taking anti-inflammatory. And now I do have orthotics because I have many problems with my feet.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, can the doctor suggest anything for this inflamed metatarsal bone?
What about that, Dr. Milton?
Well, in each of our feet, we have 5 metatarsal bones, and for some reason, one or more can get inflamed, can get bruised, etc. But it's a good idea to have it examined and possibly have some treatment like laser or ultrasound. It may be something we call metatarsalgia, which is really just means a bruised metatarsal, which is a long bone in our foot.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, some treatment can help it. But orthotics is also a good start, but sometimes they have to be modified to accommodate for that particular problem pain.
Okay. Do you need a referral to from your family doctor to come and see you? Because I'm definitely coming.
No, you do not need a medical referral to see a podiatrist or chiropodist in Ontario.
Okay, very good.
Simple as that. The decision's in your hands. That's kind of a good thing, isn't it?
I've made it already. I'm going.
I'll see you soon.
Thanks very much, then.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. The other thing we didn't mention about podiatry and is it chiropody?
Well, it's tomato.
Yeah, right. Okay. The fact that there are not, relatively speaking, there aren't many podiatrists of any description in Ontario as there are almost everybody's a chiropodist is what I'm saying.
There are a lot more chiropodists.
Yeah.
But now that a podiatry school was built in Trois-Rivières, Quebec, eventually we'll catch up.
And there will be, you can see the day. I guess what you're really saying is the day will come when everybody will be a podiatrist.
I'm hoping for that the rest of the world, and that would be much beneficial to the general public.
To us as mere mortals.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Milchin, thank you very much for coming in. Always appreciate your visits.
It's always a pleasure.
Okay. Dr. Hartley Milchin, our resident podiatrist.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.